Welcome to this podcast episode, created for the Transforming the Field Education Landscape Project, or the TEFL Project for short. The goal of the TEFL Project is to enhance social work field education in Canada. My name is LJ Fisher, and I'm a Master of Social Work candidate with the University of Calgary and a student research assistant with the TEFL Project. For this podcast, I had the privilege to have a learning conversation with Dr. Indrani Margolin, Associate Professor with the Faculty of Social Work at the University of Northern British Columbia, UNBC. Dr. Indrani played a key role in establishing UNBC's Bachelor of Social Work program in Vancouver, and in the capacity of field coordinator, has built strong alliances with Vancouver area agencies. Among Dr. Indrani's many teaching accomplishments is her development of a course on spirituality and social work, which is one of only four such courses in Canada. Additionally, Dr. Indrani created an expressive arts therapy course to support this modality in therapeutic social work. My conversation with Dr. Indrani focused on the ways she centers spirituality and the arts in social work, teaching, research, and practice. I started by asking Dr. Indrani to describe her social work practice.
So my social work practice currently, I would say, manifests as in teaching, in research, and mentorship with students that I supervise, both graduate and undergraduate. I would say that I root myself in a spiritual paradigm. So what that means for me is that I have been cultivating my own spiritual practice for many years. I came in to learn from a spiritual mentor, and I've been learning from, I would say, inducted into Vedic philosophy and learning in that tradition since I was 18. And while I planned for that to be just in my personal life on the side, that became impossible at some point. And it has pervaded my social work practice and teaching and research. And it's now taken a center spot. And once I recognized the profound transformation that occurred within myself, it was a spontaneous desire and passion to share those gifts with those around me as they were learning in social work.
As I listened to Dr. Indrani, I was struck by her pronouncement that it became impossible to separate her spiritual practice from her social work practice. In my social work courses, I have learned to reflect on my positionality, that is, to identify my social location and worldview, and to develop an awareness of how these influence my decision-making. Given Dr. Indrani's attention to her own spiritual consciousness, it makes sense that her spiritual self and professional self could not be kept separate. I believe the same is true for each of us, as we are all spiritual beings. I wondered how connecting more to my own spirituality would contribute to a greater understanding of myself as a social worker. I also wondered what innate gifts would be revealed through an increased spiritual self-awareness. I asked Dr. Indrani to tell me more about how spirituality connects to her social work practice.
So a spiritually oriented approach, and a Vedic approach really come from the Vedantic philosophy, recognizes a unified inborn spirit or consciousness that unifies all humans and is the same in each of us. So it aligns really well with social work, where we have a fundamental belief that we are all connected through our humanity in every moment. My focus is on the spirit. I mean, spirit, the root of spirituality comes from the Latin spiritus, which means I breathe. So, you know, pneuma or in Greek, or ruach in Hebrew, or swastitam in Sanskrit. I focus on the unity behind threads of other cultures, religions, philosophies, and because I believe that is what we are striving for in social work. We are striving to be and live together, but it just doesn't work to do it intellectually.
It just doesn't work to do it intellectually. I was so moved by the statement and couldn't help but agree. There are so many structural forces in the world that work to divide people. And no matter one's resolve, they seem impossible to resist completely. Through intellect, I have learned to recognize inequality and to identify my privileged relationship to power. As a result, I have learned and continue to learn ways to use power to promote social justice. But despite this work, I recognize a disconnect between myself and others, between myself and the land, even within myself, between mind and body. To uphold social work's core values, especially that of respect for the inherent dignity and worth of persons, and that of service to humanity, we must nurture a sense of connection and unity. For me, Dr. Andrani's wisdom is powerful. Intellect can only go so far. Spirituality takes us further. Knowing the importance of spirituality in my own wellness, I have noticed so many opportunities for spiritual practice and social work. At the same time, I notice how challenging it is to make space for the spiritual, given the enormous pressures and demands put on social workers. I asked Dr. Andrani what challenges she has encountered to this end.
Challenges I have encountered personally don't necessarily have to do with social work specifically, but I would say the greater world we're in that really values the intellect first, mm-hmm. before spirit. So I would say that's one of the biggest challenges of just coming from a totally different worldview. Mm-hmm. So the worldview of, you know, Descartes, he came in and said, cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. But a Vedic philosophy, which is an ancient worldview, thousands and thousands of years old, before Hinduism was ever a religion, and which would also align with many Canadian Indigenous worldviews mm-hmm. of spirit and creator first. It's I am, therefore I think. Aham idam in Sanskrit. Aham, I am. I amness, beingness comes before thought. It's a very important paradigm shift, because when we identify with beingness, then suddenly we're focused on resonating with.
As I contemplated the idea of being before thought, I immediately realized the hypocrisy of my approach. I rushed to think about Dr. Andrani's words before taking the time to sit with them. This observation alone drove home just how readily I accept a Cartesian paradigm. I recalled that a Cartesian view insists separation between mind and body, and I began to connect the dots. That disconnect between mind and body that I identified earlier is a result of this deeply entrenched paradigm. I imagined what connections could be made, what healing could occur if we learned to lead with being, and to follow with thought. I appreciated Dr. Andrani's comment about this paradigm shift and its relationship to Indigenous worldviews from Turtle Island. And more than ever, I appreciated how efforts to decolonize social work education are beneficial to all of us. Dr. Andrani had more to add about this paradigm shift in social work education.
How do we educate for the paradigm shift? I think that students and many people haven't understood the value of this worldview because they haven't had educational opportunities to mm-hmm. explore it and understand it. They haven't found a way and been given the educational, pedagogical support, as well as the social support growing up to really make room to resonate with their own spirituality and their own creativity and what that how that could really benefit every moment of their breathing existence. Now, we do have, you know, part of the CASWAY accreditation standards mm-hmm. in social work, like the core learning objectives. I just pulled this up for our conversation. Is that students are to have opportunities within their educational experiences to understand the complexities of ethical practice across various professional roles and activities and within spiritual, cultural, and institutional contexts. So that's one of the places are the Canadian Association for Social Work Education lays out standards that explicitly discuss spirituality for ethical practice. But I think it could be more expanded on in our standards of practice as well. And, it, you know, field practice should prepare students for practice realities where spiritual aspects are likely to be encountered. And I started this work in realizing that for if we're really going to take post-traumatic growth seriously mm-hmm. and we're really going to support a strength-based perspective, we better up our game of the tools we are offering to our clients of how they can engage with us in relationship and relationship building and what parts of themselves they can bring to the healing relationship. And it's time for us to stop bracketing out their deeper meaning-making systems in healing. It's time for us to support social workers and helping professionals with tools so that they feel comfortable in including spirituality in assessments and treatment.
As I consider Dr. Indrani's invitation to social workers to support the internal meaning-making systems of those we work with, I wondered how I could prepare myself for a more holistic practice. I asked Dr. Indrani what advice she would like to pass on to emerging social workers who wish to hold space for spirituality in the therapeutic relationship.
I would say that just as the mental muscles need to be built through social work theory and understanding of our frameworks, the mental muscles of concentration and inner solitude and silence also need to be built. Without concentration, our intellect runs wild. It just is like an untrained dog. But also when we cultivate this, it becomes our best friend and guides us. And we need our intellect. It's like the boat on the river. It carries us so many places, but we have to jump off the boat. We have to jump off because we need to have deeper purpose than just ethics. Ethics are sacred, actually, sacred ethics. That's what I would say one thing that's needed, that we could cultivate spirituality into ethical practice. Let's talk about sacred ethics. So ethics that aren't just coming from an external sense of right and wrong, but a deep internal sense of caring, connection, and let justice come from that place. And we know then when we do that, when our embodied understanding, our intuition, our love, our heart is involved and we take whole context into account, our sense of ethics then is internally motivated. We know that everything internally motivated is much more sustaining for everyone. So I would encourage students to open yourself to allow your heart to be a part of your growing professional identity and take time to contemplate what that means for you and consider noticing what you're thinking about and why throughout the day.
Self-reflexivity.
It's self-reflexivity, not for critique. So it's a shift in paradigm thinking again, not for critique, but for self-love. And so meditation is one of many, but a very potent path to realize not only our relationship with each other, with clients, with our peers, with teachers, with researchers, but our relationship with the whole universe. And just that meditation of everything around you, touching everything, and taking the time and effort to contemplate the unity between and beneath the diversity of all of us, of all living creatures. That would be another recommendation.
As an emerging social worker, I take strength from Dr. Andrani's recommendation. If I can lean into the meditation she describes and nurture the unity she speaks of, I believe I can develop the authenticity and humility that's needed for good social work, for social work that truly upholds the inherent dignity and worth of others. Thank you for listening to this learning conversation. If you enjoyed it, I encourage you to explore more podcasts on the TEFL Project website, tfelproject.com. Thank you.